here we go. And let's update it. This is what we had last time. And this is the summary of it all. With the Trinity, where the Father is God. Father is God, the Father is God. Then, on this side here, the Father, Son. The Son is God. And the Son, the Spirit is God. The Son, the Lamb. But then the Father is not the Spirit. The Father is not the Son. And the Spirit and the Son are different. So, all around this, it's like there's one God, but three separate people who are part of the Trinity. And last time, it was a very cognitive thing. And I went home and I thought, Lord, I'm nothing in my world. And so, as I've done this, it really got to me as well. And I thought, where can we get going on this? Now, firstly, start off with God's providence. God's providence is God at work in the world. Concurrence is part of God's providence. And what it is God at work in and through his people. And that I was just getting into several years ago. I've given into concurrence. And I thought, this is amazing, doctor. Concurrence. And the one I was getting into it, I looked at Israel magazine. They told this story, and I've got this summarized. An example for Roman Catholic Australia. The most devastating self-run of 15 years hit in this rather very south of Cairns. A husband and wife were in a small boat and seeking to come in. They cried, Lord, save us! And then it's the house of the house. They said, God, help us! And first thing that happened was the husband fell out of the boat. The husband sat by the boat between the first living pirates on both sides, and it required every bit of strength he had and every bit of patience God had to sail right through the middle of those pirates and come back up the side. I think I was thinking, I never got a discussion. God and people doing things together. When we come to a tough situation, and God works with us in that. And most of what I'm saying to God is based on this ultimate concurrence. If you don't know concurrence, I might see it in action. See missionaries, Adam and Co., Watts and Co. You know, see these missionaries in action. And maybe sometimes you can see a chaplain. It's working with God together, and it makes a great change. And with that in mind, I went through on the thing of, let's look at concurrence as it relates to the whole of the Trinity. And here I go. Now, this is here of a lake district from Keswick, and it's a beautiful setting. Why did God choose the Keswick? Because for 175 years, they've been having their Keswick Convention meeting for over 10,000 sermons that have been given there. By Acts, every one is an outstanding preacher in the area of holiness and sanctification. And because of all this work they've done, having these people in the preaching, they have people who were preachers there who wrote their own books. And this was a lot of stuff in there. And one day they started, I'm going to doctorate preaching on it. And here is his doctoral dissertation. And when he quotes these thousands of sermons and the books of the people, and puts them all together in a consistent work. And doesn't for all of us is he's one. And once we've done our work, once we've been able to do this in the past, it still is now. And I hope this is written in a book, but this is a message because we can get to that context of exactly what God is doing with you. So, if we understand that for the Christian convention, like, why is the whole convention in prayer to the Holy Spirit? Then we get to the end, pray to the Holy Spirit. And then, that's what we're before it began. But when it begins, every day, there's this group of prayers, we pray together to the Holy Spirit. God, you're miracle, you really touch the people in prayer. And when something like that is where the conference is, clearly, you're going to get one blessing at the convention. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit did his work. The people who prepared the convention would never tell any speaker what subjects to do. When they were on, what sort of thing. Nobody had that. They prayed with the Holy Spirit. They're going to get the results. And so, what they found from the very first sermon, all the way through to the latest sermon, that's been preached there, it's not themselves, it's the preachers themselves, it's them. I think that's a pretty good preacher meeting. And they had one part of preaching on the first day, one of the second day, one of the all the way through to the sixth day. And although they don't know what others were doing, that's what happened. And they looked at the joy. This all goes together. If as you look, day one, this happens, day two, and so on, right through to day six. And this is flow there. And we're going to follow the flow. And we will see that following the flow is what God is doing through all. But day one is the exceeding sinfulness of sin in the life of a Christian. Now, all of this stuff is not for non-Christians, it's for Christians. And as it speaks about sin, they deal with all kinds of sin. Can you believe it? The other big event too, on the first day, was praise and adoration, worship of God. And I thought, God, you went back to the top of the same day? What did you do? And I thought, hold on, let me check. I said, what's going on? He preached three distant sermons. Against noble countries. And to each one, he said, woe is me, woe is me, you know, this is so many, six words. And then he says, God, on the throne. And this was awesome. Seeing God on the throne, and the way he says, woe is me. That's what he was doing. Woe is me. A man of unclean lips and God on the list of people of unclean lips. This is what God wants about. The story is about God getting the eyes on God, the commitment to God. And the thing with his blazing eyes, look upon the sin, and take it to your heart again. That's the very first day. This is the And the day came, Christ is risen to sin, that same thing, Christ is risen to sin, and the life is believers. Where do we start with that? Romans 6, that's the highest sanctification. And sanctification is a word which is largely used. It's like, it's sort of what we have with sanitizing. We have been united with Christ in his death. We will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. 6 and 7 of the same chapter. Remember that our own self has been crucified with Christ, that the body of sin may be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. If anyone who died is free from sin. Verses 11 and 12. Count yourself dead to sin. But I love to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey and all its evil delights and desires. Verse 13, you have offered the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And with the provision of sin in the life of believers, all of our sanctification through on Christ on his death and resurrection. But when you've got both the old sinful nature and the new nature in our hearts, how can we get the two? And this again, Evan Roberts, he does it again. A cuckoo never brings its own nest, he says. It lays its feet on another nest. That's the phrase. Get it bigger and bigger, the little flesh gets smaller and smaller. The cuckoo throws the formidable birds out of the nest where they die. Then that flesh feeds the baby cuckoo, which is 3 times as big as it. We have 2 natures in one nest, and they are a simple nature and a new nature. The nation is where I'm feeling will grow. This is what it says. You were dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Die 3 times, and in die 3, the 2 people of the Trinity, the Son and the Spirit, working together. Fascinating. A proclamation of Christ's provision for sin, as it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. God is the foundational sanctification by what he's done, in fact, within the resurrection. The Spirit is an agent who uses the Christ is done in order to achieve sanctification. Putting it this way, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make true their own experience that for which Christ died for us on the cross and was raised for us. So the strength of our sanctification, but the Spirit has sanctified. There are other parallels between the strength with that some of us work together as we begin this road to sanctification. The Spirit will lead you into all truth, John 14:17. The Son will reveal himself to each one of us. And that one is John 14:21. The same chapter. But one of the most problems that limits Christian spiritual growth is that Christians seek to conquest itself by self, not to conquest itself by Christ. This next page brings me back to my notes. I appreciate greatly the preaching of our Sula Baxter. And one day in Perth, I think he's going to be speaking at the Presbyterian Church, and was the way I went, and he preached on the subject of the Lamb of God from Genesis to the Lord, not Moses. He's not got the most person. He said, you know that thing, take time to get married. He said, the man who wrote that, like self, is an easy man church. And everything you read in that I've seen it in his life. It's a, for example, if there's a tension in the world with him, and the tension is there. There's a something about him that is just so Jesus like. But kind of, this is the way the guy was. So when I put this in, I come across that. I'm not going to this particular notice how it deals with the very part of sanctification. It is bad words. Take time to be holy. Speak up with your Lord. God within all ways and fill in his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Having a method is blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time speaking with Jesus alone. But I'm looking to Jesus, let him be so busy. Your friends and your conduct is madness to say. Take time to be holy. Let him be your guide. And run not before him, never be tired. Enjoy your sorrow, purify your Lord, and look into Jesus, still trusting his word. Take time to be holy, be calm in your soul, and store it in each temple, and be his decline. Thus, led by his Spirit, the fathoms of love, you see to be fitted. The Holy Spirit, involved with Jesus Christ, and involved in good with itself, without necessarily the same presence. And there are a whole series of things he does, so that he, the Holy Spirit, empowers us. And just look at this list. It goes on to the next page. The New Testament provides many perspectives of the relationship. Holy Spirit that enable us to possess clear insight into sanctification. Paul, the first one, was teaching the Galatians. They were saved by faith, but wanted to be sanctified by works of their own merit. And so he wrote in Galatians 4:3, I am the same spirit. Having been done in the spirit, is your man made perfect by human effort? And then the second one, if you through the those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires, wants, and desires. You are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Romans 8:9. Next one, this is translated for you. The man of the Holy Spirit is both a counteractive agent of the flesh and the divine means of making the victory of Calvary a reality in the Christian's experience, as we've seen earlier. And then it goes on. Now, here's the Bible wrote this occasion. Robert, he appears. It is the place of the Holy Spirit to accomplish sanctification of the believer's life. It fits to build the needs of the body of the believer. It is the believer's responsibility to consent to die to self. This is the wickedness part. But this is by no means the easy thing. It means that God will be my order and order in my life. No, not really. Which is not. Number six, another key to sanctification is Galatians 5, 16 to 18. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the evil nature. The opposite then, by the constant surrender to His will, to the Holy Spirit, the believer finds power in God that brings deliverance from the flesh's lust. Eight, not only does the Holy Spirit remove the works of the flesh from a sanctified Christian, but He also enables the higher level of godly behavior to characterize a sanctified Christian. Galatians 5:22 to 24. Fruit of the Spirit is sanctified love. Simple love. Unqualified love. Love of God of Christ. Joy. Which one do you find others? Where do you find others? In the fruit of the Spirit. Interestingly, every place he went, one stood out. Can you guess what was? This is all given by the Holy Spirit to the power in those particular areas. One fascinating fact is that the Bible is that from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it looks back at Moses, where Moses' face glowed when he left the tabernacle. Now, he put a mask on his face, and as the obvious, the mask was there so it can hide his face so that they can look upon him. Because he said, come out of the tabernacle, or the equivalent of what was then the tabernacle. And he came out, and his face was gone. He said, but his mask gone. No, he was very humble. And then he was going to find out what the mask was there for. He didn't want people to see them all the glory day. It wasn't that he wanted them not to see it. But he didn't want them to see that it wasn't there. And the New Testament looks at this Paul, so he says, hey, it's not like that in the Christian church. We stand by our faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transfigured. Same word for the transfiguration of Christ, to be transfigured into His likeness, with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And this is the work of the Spirit. something better. I got one way of looking at the good stuff. But Andrew Murray, with Arvind from South Africa, flew to Keswick. And they said, it's a common statement of Keswick for 10 years. No one, no other thing could compare with Andrew Murray. It's funny. And I thought, why don't you just take one page from the whole thing? Give one page, Andrew Murray page. And here it is. The main thing for him in this was, what do you do when you really get something really tough? When everything is right against you, everything you have is just so tough. What do you do? And this is the thing. He described his trials in his life and his competitive spirit in action. First, he took me here. It is by his will that I'm in this great place. In that fact, I will rest. Next, he will keep it here in his love and give me grace to be held as his child. Next one, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn, and working to be the grace he intends to bestow. It's a good time. We can bring it out again. How and when? Who knows? And the answer is really. Like you said, Lord, thank you for being such a great instrument. And then, we're on the second last page. Oh, the second last page. God the Father, God's focused motivations that we have a sanctified life. With it, what the first thing you say? Read the motivation Christians have in order to be sanctified when we're thinking about God the Father. The first is, of course, our reverence of God the Father. Quote, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contains from the traumatized body and spirit, perfecting holiness and reverence of God. Philippians 2:13, God the Father is working in you, giving you the desire to work by Him, and the power to do what pleases Him. And then the final thing for them is sanctification itself. Now, if the Word of God, he was called the Apostle of Holiness. And when he was young, about 29, 20, and he got blessed by someone like this, that's 60. And he makes one statement that I feel fascinating. There's one verse in the Bible that he said, more than any other verse in the whole scripture, this has blessed me. Is God the Father's divine power has given us everything we need for the life, the life and godliness, through our knowledge of Him, who is called by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them we might that's where we started. So with the only word, what is that? We possess that synchronizer. Then after that, we put our two. We have a synchronizer plus a newborn nature. And then we look at Brenda and we say, oh, this is pretty significant. God the Father gives us his own divine nature. As well as that, we've just said before that, we can be sanctified through the Holy Spirit's mercy and empowerment. Jesus added, also, Jesus Christ looks at, leads his love through us. That's good. Have any of you ever heard about Magdalene Thomas? Yeah. His big thing was Christ lives in you. What did he do? He didn't deserve this to last. Jesus asked, Jesus put his life in a vision, making a promise. Satan was happy to have sent him. I had enough of the power of Christ to have convinced him. And that all he was just a person. And then, God the Father adds a further promise. He wants to fill you with his promise. Quote, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then, the Trinity, the Father of God, is working in you, giving you a desire to obey him, and the power to do what pleases him. This goes beyond you, beyond the second death. You think it goes by one or another, and it's like, oh Lord, oh Lord. When the whole, the people that were filled with Trinity, that's been working together, all in different ways, and all together in power. And now, here's the last story. The two men